Elizabeth Elliot says that God knows the end from the beginning. He loves us, He is wise, He's powerful, and He calls us to put our faith in Him, to set our feet on that rock which will never move. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot. As you put your faith in the solid rock, study the unchanging word with us today. Here's Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you this time about passion and purity. We've spent some time talking about chastity and virginity, and I've tried to hold up a standard utterly at odds with that of contemporary society. I can imagine people turning on their radios, not knowing what they were getting, and hearing a woman talking about things like chastity and virginity, and wondering what planet she came from, or what sort of a Rip Van Winkle she must be. I have been holding up not a Victorian standard, as I was once accused of doing, but a much more ancient pathway of renunciation and sacrifice and restraint. I've tried to show that God's will for you and me is love. God doesn't give us rules about how to behave sexually in order to spoil our fun or to suppress our humanity, but to provide a way for far more deep and lasting joy and for the greatest fulfillment of our manliness and womanliness. Now, can you believe that? God is really interested primarily in the greatest fulfillment of our total humanity, whether you're a man or a woman. Those who are virgins, I've been trying to say to you with all my heart, keep that virginity. Those who are married, be chaste. Those who have squandered their virginity, God will forgive you. You can start over. He will give you back your chastity. In my book, Passion and Purity, I've told the 20th century story of two young people who sought to walk in God's pathway, in spite of overwhelming and almost uncontrollable emotions for each other. This young man and young woman had all the juices and all the desires and all the longings that any young man and any young woman would have. But at the same time, they had the expulsive power of a new affection, the love of God. And for the love of God, they sought to guard their chastity. It's not a novel. It's actually a true story. It's in part autobiographical. And the struggles that those two people went through, I've gone into in rather intimate detail. It was a bit too intimate for my own comfort, because as you can guess, it's my own story. In one of my diary entries, I had written one of the collects from the Book of Common Prayer. It spoke exactly to my need, and I often find that using other people's written prayers says much better than I could say it, exactly what I want to pray to God. And this is what the collect for the fifth Sunday after Lent says. Almighty God, you alone can bring into order the unruly wills and affections of sinners. Grant your people grace to love what you command and desire what you promise, that among the swift and varied changes of the world, our hearts may surely there be fixed where true joys are to be found. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Well, if you pray that prayer, that God will teach you to love what He commands and desire what He promises, there will be some cost. But there's nothing new about that either. Back when the Lord told King David to set up an altar on the threshing floor that belonged to Araunah the Jebusite, the king asked Araunah if he could buy it, and the owner said, "No, I want to give it to you as a gift, and I'll give you my oxen for an offering and the threshing sledges for fuel." But David refused the gift. He said, I will not offer to the Lord my God whole offerings that have cost me nothing. It was going to cost me something to offer up my feelings for this man with whom I had fallen in love. But I said, Lord, here's my heart. There are many choices that you and I have to make between duty and desire. And I suppose there's never a day goes by that we don't have choices of that nature. What we ought to do as opposed to what we feel like doing. What we want to do as opposed to what God wants us to do. Who is our master? To whom are we bond slaves? To sin and self, or to God and his righteousness? Well, that's exactly the conflict that I found myself in the middle of. I would go up to my room and drop to my knees and talk to God about this man that I saw in Greek class and saw walking across the campus and once in a while got a glimpse of in the dining hall. There was no reason in the world for me to think that I had a chance with him, but I told the Lord how I felt about him and hoped, I'm not sure whether I prayed, that the Lord would give me this man. I think my faith was probably too small even to imagine something like that, but I just wanted to know now, Lord, what am I supposed to do with these feelings? And a settled commitment to Christ, which was made when I was 12 years old, was not up for grabs. I was not going to negotiate this lifelong commitment. But here was a desire for a man which seemed to be in conflict with my desire for God. Discipleship usually brings us into the necessity of choice between duty and desire, but let's not always think that they're mutually exclusive. Sometimes what we desire to do is exactly what God wants us to do and what we ought to do. Most of us find that works every day in certain ways, doesn't it? The people we love, we're willing to fix breakfast for. It's not a great conflict between duty and desire. Of course, many of us would like to sleep in once in a while, but the expulsive power of a stronger affection brings us to our feet and down to the kitchen to cook the breakfast. When our hearts are set on obedience, we can be sure of the needed wisdom to tell the difference between a conflict and a harmony. Was my will in conflict with God's over this man, or was it simply telling me what God wanted me to do? It may be a slow and a painful process. Well, let me read to you just a page or so from this book, Passion and Purity, telling the story of what happened toward the end of my college career. It was just a few weeks before my graduation. On Memorial Day, the Missions Fellowship had a picnic breakfast at a place called the Lagoon. When it was over, I was one of those helping to clean up. Jim was another, and of course I kept him somewhere in the corner of my eye. When everything was finished, I looked up to see him sitting on a picnic table with two friends. Bill and Van were talking. Jim was swinging his legs and gazing at me. Everybody else had gone. He jumped off the table and ran over to where I was dumping the last load into a trash barrel. Walk you home? Okay. Bill and Van coming? They're deep into something. Let's leave them alone. We walked half a block in silence. Then suddenly, we've got to get squared away on how we feel about each other, Jim said. I was dumbfounded. No preliminaries, nothing. Just like that, bang, the revelation that I had been hoping for. He had some feelings, and he was assuming that I had some. I was a little piqued at his assumption. It seemed presumption to me, since I thought I had done pretty well at concealing my interest. The last thing I wanted was to hint in any way that I had thought about him even twice, that until, that is, he hinted that he was interested in me. Now, what was I supposed to say? Feel about each other? What do you mean? Come on, Bet, don't tell me you don't know I was in love with you. I had no idea. Really? But you must have. If you didn't, then all I can say is you must have thought I was a pretty nice guy. I've been knocking myself out to be nice to you, to show you how I felt without actually saying anything. You mean you didn't notice? I noticed. I was afraid to believe my eyes. I told myself you couldn't possibly be interested, let alone in love, Jim said. That's what I'm telling you. Hey, we're not going to campus now. Let's go back to the lagoon and talk this thing out. So we went back to the lagoon, a park. We sat on the grass and we talked for 7 hours. That's only the beginning of the story. The story goes on for 5.5 years. But during that time, our feelings for each other not only did not abate, they were simply more intensified. Do I know anything about passion and purity? Well, it may be hard for you young people to imagine that an old lady can remember anything about things like that, but strangely enough, I do. I remember it very vividly. I remember how he looked, where we sat, what I wanted. I remember my feelings, my prayers. I remember the passion. I also remember that very inconvenient desire for purity. How was I to have both? Are you a person who struggles with passion? Are you a person who desires purity? I'm here to tell you that purity is God's way, not to spoil our fun and suppress our humanity, but to provide a way for a far more deep and lasting joy.
Anything if offered to God can and will become your gateway to joy. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.